Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today we have on the show with us a guest who is long overdue for the podcast. His name is Dr. John Bloom. He's a fellow of Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture and serves as chair of the Chemistry, Physics, and Engineering Department and is the academic director at Biola University for their Master's in Science and Religion program, which he founded in 2004. Dr. Bloom teaches a variety of undergraduate courses in physics and graduate courses at the Master's in Science and Religion program. He has a PhD in physics from Cornell University, as well as also holding an MDiv and a PhD in Ancient and Near Eastern Studies. So, Dr. Bloom, we're very, very pleased to have you on the show with us today, although I think it's long overdue that we have you on the show.
Well, that's all right. I'm busy enough most of the time, but it's fun to be here.
Great. Well, the occasion that we wanted to use to bring you on the show today is an op-ed that was published by Eric Metaxas on Christmas Day in the Wall Street Journal titled "Science Increasingly Makes the Case for God." And I assume, Dr. Bloom, you saw this op-ed and you are familiar with this op-ed.
Yep. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was a very good op-ed. And basically, Eric Metaxas, who's a well-known Christian writer, made the case in this op-ed for cosmic design, for design of the universe. And it's not every day that we see the arguments for intelligent design of the universe being made in the pages of the Wall Street Journal. So needless to say, this op-ed generated some controversy and some pushback online. There were some folks like Lawrence Krauss and others who were critiquing the op-ed saying, well, actually, physics has moved beyond this argument from the Big Bang or fine-tuning for cosmic design. And really, this is all passe and nobody believes this anymore. There's nothing to see here. Don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain. So that was sort of the response that was received by Eric Metaxas to this op-ed. And the reason why we wanted to bring you on the show today, Dr. Bloom, is because you have a PhD in physics. You're very familiar with this evidence. First of all, we're hoping that maybe you could explain what is some of this evidence from physics and cosmology for design in the universe, and maybe what are some of the problems with some of the arguments from the critics. So first off, Dr. Bloom, can you maybe talk to us about the Big Bang? We actually saw some people pushing back on Eric Metaxas for citing the Big Bang as evidence for cosmic design. So could you explain for our listeners, what is the Big Bang and what is some of the evidence for the Big Bang?
Well, just to go back a little bit in history here, 100 years ago, the dominant view in physics and science world was that the universe had always been here. It's obvious, you know, matter cannot be created or destroyed, so therefore the stuff has always been here. So the universe has always been here in some form. The matter has always been here in some form. And it wasn't until about 1930 or so that Edwin Hubble, the guy whom the Hubble telescope's named after, working up on Mount Wilson here, just near me, was measuring the speed at which galaxies move around in the heavens. And he saw a very stunning thing, that the farther out the galaxy is, the faster it's moving away from us. And except for two or three galaxies close by coming towards us, this trend of the farther out you look, the faster they're moving, just had no other explanation than that, good grief, the universe must have all been together at some point in the past and somehow blew apart or something to give rise to this very clear signal in the galaxy speeds that they're all flying apart, and the farther out you look, the faster they're going. But it wasn't until the 60s that this really got nailed down. Kind of a fun story for that. A couple of physicists got jobs at Bell Labs so that they could use some of their old equipment and started taking measurements the very early days of radio astronomy, started taking measurements of the microwave radio signals coming from space to Earth using some old Bell Labs equipment. And they could see this, gee, we see noise from the galaxy, we see noise from Jupiter, you know, it's kind of cool. But there was this noise they were getting from all directions of space that they couldn't figure out a reason for. And so when they published this, their final paragraph is, you know, there's just something weird going on. It's not noise in our instruments or anything. There's some stuff coming from space. And some theoretical astrophysicists saw that and went crazy. It's like, good grief. What they've seen, Penzias and Wilson were the two physicists on this, what they've seen is the leftover heat energy from that initial explosion that blew everything apart has those galaxies flying at the speeds that they do. So that was the real solid evidence, this cosmic microwave background radiation. This is the leftover energy from that initial explosion. And I'm old enough, I remember the competing theory at the time in the 60s was called the steady state theory. Fred Hoyle was one of the guys behind this, the idea that, yeah, the galaxies are moving apart, but if new hydrogen's being created slowly in the space left behind, then you could see this eternal expansion going on. But with this detection of the remnant of the initial explosion's energy, they had to fold. I remember that on the TV news, just Fred Hoyle, Tom Gold, Herman Bondi, the main people behind this steady state theory have given up, and it just looks like the universe has a beginning to it. So that was the evidence from the 60s, but then we've since set up the COBE satellite in the 80s, and then the WMAP probe later, and then the European Space Agency has had the Planck satellite mapping this microwave background radiation in much more resolution and detail. So there's the signature that the universe had a beginning is just irrefutable, I think.
It's interesting, Dr. Bloom. It seems like when an ID proponent says something, suddenly it's controversial. So when Eric Metaxas says there's strong evidence for the Big Bang, suddenly you get people out there saying, oh, well, this is all outdated and this is controversial. When in reality, I mean, it's really the consensus of the physics community today that the Big Bang is the best model for explaining the origin of the universe. Is that essentially true?
And yeah, it's textbook stuff. My astronomy textbooks that I use and I teach that, and general physics textbooks, there's a chapter on cosmology and it's the Big Bang and here's how it unfolded that we've been able to kind of reconstruct. But yeah, to see people denying what's in the textbooks seems to be a bit strange.
Yeah, maybe if us ID proponents actually start affirming Darwinian evolution, people will start disavowing.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, maybe that's a new strategy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a little reverse psychology there. Yeah. Okay, so this is sort of another important question, though. So the Big Bang seems to be the best model for explaining the origin of the universe, but how does the Big Bang point to the need for a transcendent creator and intelligent design of the universe, which is essentially what Eric Metaxas was arguing in his op-ed?
Yeah, well, the term Big Bang is a sarcastic remark from Fred Hoyle. He thought the idea was crazy is basically the sentence in which he said it. It's really stupid to think the universe started with something like a Big Bang. And because it's kind of a cute term, it stuck. But as people have studied this, okay, you know, what would make all the universe unfold in just that way? It's got so much fine-tuning in it. Just one example that's often stated is that the rate at which the early universe unfolded has to be precise to within something like 1 part in 10 to the 60th. If it moved a little bit faster than that, then we'd just have a universe full of hydrogen gas, basically. And if it was 1 part in 10 to the 60th slower than that, gravity would become the big player and it would have collapsed back on itself by now and wouldn't have lasted as long as it did. So as people have thought this through, it's like, good grief, it's not a big bang. I've heard people say, well, this is actually a big bloom or something like that. And I don't like that term myself. I rather call it it's just a perfect jewel in terms of all the dimensions. It's so perfectly unfolded with such great precision at the rate of expansion and how much matter actually ended up in the universe as that energy condensed and went through different phases. How the mass is distributed in the early universe is just incredibly high precisions that it's this perfect jewel. So it's not this chaotic mess. It's this beautifully tuned, another term that's used for it is spooky, the way it came out, to have just the right structure that stars and galaxies and those sorts of things can form in it. So it's the shaping, the fine tuning of it that points to, man, there's going to be somebody behind this. Also, just the fact that there's a beginning to it. You know, if you see something start, there expect there to be a cause for it. So if there's a beginning, there should be a beginner to it. So both of those factors point to something outside the universe that got it started. And that's what transcendent kind of means. And then it didn't just kind of go crazy. It actually unfolded with great precision, which implies that there's a designer as well.
Yeah, I think that the term Big Bang is really unfortunate because people intuitively realize that sort of a chaotic explosion does not produce the kind of order that we see in the universe. And when they hear Big Bang, they think of some kind of an explosion, which is what we have in our everyday experience, is a very random chaotic event. And so how could something like that produce the order that we see? But really, as you just quite better than I can say right now, Dr. Bloom, as you just said, the Big Bang was not a random chaotic explosion. And it was more like a finely tuned expansion event. You put it much more elegantly than that. But I do think that the word Big Bang, the term Big Bang, is really a misnomer in many ways. And it leads to people sometimes, unfortunately, I think, to misunderstand what the Big Bang model is all about. Is that a correct understanding of the Big Bang, that it was not a random chaotic event, that it was sort of this finely tuned expansion event?
Oh, absolutely. If it was really the way Fred Hoyle blew it off, we wouldn't be here. The universe would have an entirely different structure than what it has. So, yeah, you're right. Big Bang, well, again, it was intended as a sarcastic dismissal of the idea. So maybe we should just start calling it the perfect jewel or something like that.
Well, Dr. Bloom, this is really helpful discussion and clarifying for our listeners as to what the Big Bang is. Unfortunately, we're running out of time for this first podcast. So please come back for more with Dr. John Bloom about cosmic design, the Big Bang, and fine tuning. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.